Okay, boys, it's got to work.
Let's get back to work, guys.
I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living.
You need a job so you can pay. Get a job.
You don't got to go to work. Working 9 to 5.
I suck at this job.
He works hard.
Welcome to the working week.
My fellow employees, it gives me great pleasure to say
you are a good worker and a good man.
But I wake up and nothing's wrong. Just get ready for work, 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 work.
Is this your handiwork or did you bring in an independent contractor to finish the job?
God, I can't wait to quit this job.
You know what? You all suck. I quit.
And now, getting you to work, it's Bob and Sherry. And welcome on in to the Bob and Sherry Show. Wherever you are, you live in a state that I'm sure has some really wonderful parts. Breathtaking scenery, interesting towns, interesting cities. But you know, when you get right down to it, we have two states in the United States that are thought of as playgrounds. You know, Maine is beautiful, but boy, in January, not so much unless you ski. Montana is fantastic. But in January, February, March, a little on the rough side. But Florida and California, they stay the sunshine places, you know, all year long. And things happen in California and Florida that seemingly don't happen somewhere like Ohio. A Hollywood Hills mansion was recently listed for sale, and it was taken over by squatters who threw parties and rented the home to OnlyFans models. If you've never seen them, the Hollywood Hills, they're beautiful, beautiful homes. Some are mansions, some are smaller places, but it's the perfect setting for suburbia. Just Madonna lived, so many Hollywood stars and rock stars lived there. Well, a real estate agent whose name is Emily Smith was working with the homeowners, and she said when she and her husband arrived at this house, it was a 7-bedroom property. They're going to stage an open house. The lockbox was cut off and a new mailbox was put up. The house had been occupied illegally. They called the police. The man living there refused to leave when the police arrived. So the couple waited for him to leave on his own and they contacted officers again. When the cops showed up the second time, they were greeted by a woman who told them she is paying rent to that guy. He's the ringleader. And she was hired by him to do OnlyFans content in there. So there is some eerie and weird stuff going on. After the woman was escorted out, they discovered that the squatters had made themselves right at home. They fully moved in there. They had suitcases, bags. The food the refrigerator had food cooked on the stove. There were dogs walking around. It was kind of dirty, as a matter of fact. And real estate people reached out to say, how did this happen? And nobody could tell. They were just the tenants from hell that would not leave. Finally, they got them to go. And it was realized that they were in there without paying rent in this Hollywood Hills mansion for 575 days, obviously doing some adult filming while they used that as the backdrop.
You know, there was a
75 days. This place had a giant pool. It had tennis courts. It was an estate.
There was a story in, I want to say Long Island, where people squatted in a home, and it was a woman, and she was in there for, I think, 6 years. They couldn't get her out. Now, it's got to be, it's got to be a very stressful lifestyle. Very stressful lifestyle. I couldn't do it.
You would think.
You know? I get a monthly email from Rocket Mortgage thanking me for my payment. But every time my eye falls on Rocket Mortgage as the sender, I break out into a cold sweat. What have I done
wrong? I know.
How the heck am I going to squat in a mansion and make OnlyFans videos without being like in hives and throwing up from anxiety every second? I couldn't do it.
Not only making the OnlyFans videos, and you know what kind of videos they were, right? He's charging the women who are doing the OnlyFans videos. So evidently he's probably the photographer. He's getting rent from them. Then he's shooting them and then they post all for nothing for him. He's making money being a squatter.
It's a certain kind of person that right. could pull that off. And I don't think any of us are that person.
I don't think that.
Doc could do not it. I know night. Max couldn't do it. You could not do it. No. Lamar wouldn't do it.
But I could.
I mean, he could, but not for the OnlyFans.
I could.
You know, like he might squat in your mansion for 500 plus days, but he's not making OnlyFans content.
No, he's barbecuing.
He's using the smoker, but he's not shooting nasty videos.
Well, nice.
Definitely the only kind of butts I'd have is a smoking butt.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
If you know a teacher and want them to spend their summer relaxing at the beautiful Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida, nominate them right now at bobandsherry.com. And every month we are picking a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida. You four gentlemen have nothing in common with Bradley Cooper. And right now, especially Bob is feeling insulted. But by the end of what I'm about to tell you, you're going to be so glad that you have nothing in common with Bradley Cooper. Because trust me, you have nothing in common with Bradley Cooper. So he's on a podcast that I listen to sometimes. And he's talking about the way he's designed his house. And he has an entire open concept master primary bedroom. Okay. There are no walls in his bedroom and his bathroom and no doors. It's all one wide open space. And Bradley Cooper said, quote, "The bathtub, the toilet, and the bed are all in the same room. There's no door to my bedroom. The stairs go up and it's all on one floor." He said, "I have a very open relationship with my family. Like my 6-year-old daughter, we talk. I'm on the toilet. She's in the bathtub." And then Bradley said, "I didn't grow up that way. I don't think I ever saw my father on the toilet until he got sick." And I'm listening to this and I hit pause and I was like, I can't think of any scenario in this world where I could swap out like Bob or Lamar or Max or Doc's name with Bradley Cooper in this conversation.
Well, you're wrong. I like to entertain while I'm on the toilet. If we have parties or something, you know, I just say, "The house is yours, ladies and gentlemen." Jeez, you've got to be kidding me.
Bizarre. Yeah. Bizarre.
You know, I saw online, you know how sometimes you'd be online, they'll have like a really expensive house. "See a house in Bel Air, you know, go inside this beautiful Bel Air house." And once in a while, I'll click it on, see what this place is. So this house was like $2.5 million somewhere in California. And they showed the bathroom, and it was a nice bathroom and all, but it didn't have a separate area for the toilet. The toilet was right next to the bathtub, which is how I grew up. Most of us grew up, yeah, right? There wasn't separate little rooms. But I got to tell you, if I'm paying $2.5 million for a house, I'm going to want a little separate area in the old primary bathroom.
Well, let alone
no walls. Are you kidding me?
Like, no. I love my husband. But like Meghan Trainor, you know, all about that bass. The Meghan Trainor singer.
Great song.
She's married. Her husband is Daryl Sabara, who was in like Shark Boy and Lava Girl, one of those movies that my kids watched a million times. They redesigned their primary bathroom to have his and her side by side toilets. And my response to that is,
no, no.
Is there one minute of this day that I can be alone? Is there
That's insane.
There are dogs and cats and everything but a lizard in this bathroom with me. I am no. Can I please have a minute alone?
If I'm sitting there with her, I'm not holding hands.
If I could have an easy access to have a separate place outside my house, that's what I would do. Okay.
Called an outhouse.
I know. When I was a kid, we had one of those, but now, I mean, I'm just saying, just the idea. I don't even like the idea being in the same, that's a separate situation. It's just a separate situation. That's a, I, ooh, I can't even imagine. I told y'all when I was in school, as soon as I went to school, after, you know, in the first grade, you have your own little private bathroom back there. But then when you move up to the second grade, you're in a regular bathroom. The moment I walked in that door and I saw seven toilets sitting outside beside each other, in my mind, I said, we will never be able to do this. So I never went to the bathroom for 12 years in the school. Never.
Oh, my goodness.
Never. Wow. Now, when it was 3 o'clock, and I was ready to you get me to the house. But there was no way. Right. I would never do that. It would be impossible. Oh, my God.
You must have been one dehydrated youngin. Because that is really.
At least.
No. Urinal. I don't have a problem with the urinal. Okay. If my pants are below my knees, I'm by myself. Okay, I'm by myself. We're not doing that.
There's the pull quote, Max. There you go. And if you just tuned in, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was going to say. Honey, I heard the weirdest radio show today. I was dialing around and...
I mean, like, I guess it's good that if his pants are at his ankles, he's alone. I mean, thank you for that.
I like a man who takes a stand in life. I really do.
I do, too. I like a man with principles and character. And that is you, my friend. All right. Well, how perfect.
He takes a stand because he won't sit down. He's definitely taking a stand.
It's Bob and Sherry. Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you ready?
We never seem to run out.
You're both morons.
Morons in the news with Bob and Sherry.
So there is a liquor store in Georgetown, Kentucky that is being busted for selling weed. They were selling weed at the liquor store. It was a front for selling pot. The Georgetown police executed a search warrant for the liquor store after a tip found pounds of marijuana. The police department says the marijuana is pending testing at the lab right now to confirm, but more than likely, that's what they were doing. They were selling weed out of the liquor store. They're testing it right now. The name of the liquor store is 420 Liquors. I'm thinking, go ahead and eliminate the testing. It's weed. It's called 420 Liquors. They were operating for months and months and months selling marijuana out of it. Police were driving by. Oh, there's the 420 liquor store over there. And no one put it together?
Wonder why they call it that.
I wonder.
Well.
Yeah. Lamar?
A woman tried to claim $823,768 for injuries she suffered in a car crash. Camilla Grabaska, 36, said she was left with disabling condition following an accident years ago when the vehicle was hit from behind. She had sued on the basis that she could not work for more than 5 years. She could not play with her children. She could not carry out basic chores because of constant back and neck pain. But the Irish High Court, sitting in Limerick, was shown a photo in a newspaper of her hurling a spruce tree during her hearing. Ms. Gabraska argued that she looked happy in the pictures from the charity event, but she was still suffering from her injuries and endured pain to this day. The Irish Independent reported that the judge said, it's a very large, natural Christmas tree, and it is being thrown by her in a very agile moment. I'm afraid I cannot but conclude that the claims were entirely exaggerated. On that basis, I propose to dismiss the claim. The bad news is she lost over $823,000. The good news is she has a really cool plastic Christmas tree tossing trophy because she won the whole competition.
See, her defense missed an opportunity. They should have said, Your Honor, she is injured, but she had paid a visit to the 420 liquor store and her pain was temporarily forgotten.
Yeah, she was stunned. Yeah. Do you know that there are private eyes and that's how they make their money? They hang out and take a look at somebody who's got 800 or whatever thousands of dollars, and they take photographs of them just hoping to catch them, you know, throwing a football with one of their kids or whatever it is.
That's She's on the front page job. Of the paper.
Right.
The front page.
Let's go to today's moron of the day out of, where else? The Sunshine State, Hillsborough County, Florida. He was arrested over the weekend. He climbed a cell phone tower all the way to the tippity top and did himself a little social media live stream. So we got a couple of problems here. Three, wow. Actually. Let's start with, you're not allowed to climb the cell phone tower. And right. then when he got up there and he did the social media live stream, I guess he didn't stop to think that the people who owned the cell phone tower and also the police could see the social media live stream.
Right.
So we have no plausible deniability here. The aviation unit was mobilized and they have video of the guy like way up in the sky, body camera footage. You can hear a deputy say, "You made it all the way to the top?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." And the deputy goes, "Well, that's pretty crazy." And so it's hard to know, other than trespassing, what all charges he's going to be facing. But they went ahead and arrested him on general principles, basically because stupidity is a misdemeanor, at least in Hillsborough County, Florida, and they brought him in. Did you ever see the movie or trailers for the movie Tower? Lamar, you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm not looking at that. Not looking at it.
It's a thriller. To me, it's a horror movie. These people get trapped at the very tip top of a cell phone tower and can't get down. Meanwhile,
have you ever seen a radio tower? There are ladders that go to the top of radio towers all over the country. You know, probably you're listening to our voices off of one. And there has to be an engineer who climbs to the top and changes light bulbs or checks stuff.
No thanks.
No, thank you.
I climbed one of those one time. I
was Get out of the way.
I was with the engineer, and I said, "Can I go up the ladder?" He said, "Sure, you can go up the ladder." And I said, "Okay, fine." So he was working on something. I go up the ladder. I reach a point that the wind is whipping so hard, I'm afraid it's going to knock me off of the ladder.
No.
So I only made it about halfway up. That's how bad it was.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. That is crazy. All right. Well, there it is. Morons in the News. And this is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, a flight attendant who works with the Philippines-based airline Cebu Pacific posted a TikTok video that now I'm going to think about for the rest of my life. So this flight attendant said, "Have you ever wondered why flight staff buckle up in their jump seats and then sit on their hands? If you've ever been close enough to the flight attendant jump seats, either in the front or the back of the plane, they buckle into their jump seat and then they sit palms down on the cushion of the seat with their hands tucked under their thighs. Have you ever noticed that they do that?
I have never noticed that, I don't think.
I knew they sat there, but I didn't see their hands. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, you're going to start sitting like this also. The position, according to this flight attendant, you fasten your seatbelt securely. You sit absolutely upright, thumbs tucked, hands tucked under your hands, arms loose, so don't lock your elbows. Keep your feet flat on the floor. And that is because if there was an impact, it's going to cause less injury to them, and they're going to be better able to help evacuate the plane.
I'm sorry, did you say they sit on their hands or they just let them drape?
They sit on their hands.
They sit on their hands.
They sit on their hands. They keep their elbows loose. They keep their posture straight. They keep both feet flat on the floor. And that is a good position, according to this flight attendant, to help you withstand an impact with lesser injury.
That's really, I'm going to look for that next time. I don't know who just came up with that, but that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Now, if you fly into a mountain, that's probably not going to be helpful. But, you know,
that's not
going to
help you there.
Yeah. right.
But if you have like a really rough landing, that happens. You know, takeoff and landing is the most dangerous time. I just wish that maybe in addition to like, you know, your oxygen mask and how to tighten your seatbelt, maybe they told us all to just go ahead and sit on our hands and be feet on the floor and be ready. But, you know, based on the way people act on airplanes, they're throwing punches and screaming and seeing reptilian aliens. I guess we're not going to really be sitting on our hands.
No. We're not going to. You'd also, you'd have to put down your glass of liquor, too. Americans are not doing that.
Yeah, not doing that.
That's right.
Not doing that.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
So a person auditioned to be on American Idol, and this person has some pretty incredible DNA. And you always wonder, like, what is it like to be the daughter or son or granddaughter or grandson of an actual legend? Does it sting if none of that talent was passed down through the family genetics to you? Well, the granddaughter of Miss Loretta Lynn does not have to worry about that, boys, because the granddaughter of Miss Loretta Lynn can sing.
And her,
set it up, Max.
Her name is Emmy Russell, and this is an original composition. It's called Skinny.
Haven't eaten in days. God, I hate how you made me. So scared to confess. Been so hard to undress lately. Oversized t-shirts don't work like they used to. Sleeping on scales, it's just what I'm used to. Haven't eaten in days. God, I hate how you made me. So I took a trip around the world to hold the hands of orphan girls. Felt the pain in miracles in his name. But I just wanna be, I just wanna be skinny.
Oh gosh.
Emmy.
Wow.
Wow.
It reminds me of the Nine Inch Nails song a little bit that they did, that Johnny Cash did.
Hurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're, that's what you're thinking.
It has the same feel.
You would maybe expect the granddaughter of Loretta Lynn to be more of a traditional country artist.
I did,
I mean, I think that that's like the obvious cliche that you would expect. But clearly, she's a really talented singer, songwriter, musician.
Yeah.
Like, that's just amazing.
That's quite a topic. Quite a topic. What's... you know, we only heard the first verse there. Is the topic stop shaming me because I'm thin?
I don't know. I don't have all the song lyrics.
I mean, that was all of the song that she played. So I don't know what what the other lyrics are. But I would imagine it's the obsession that she has with being skinny. She's talking about sleeping on scales. I mean,
oversized t-shirts.
Yeah. So I don't think that she's being shamed. I think she's, you know, it's the obsession that she has for herself for being skinny.
Well, that's quite a reflective thing to record and to put out there, isn't it? With all of the eyeballs that are on you these days.
Did she, let me just ask, did she get the ticket dog? Is she going to Hollywood?
Yeah, I think she's going to Hollywood.
You got it.
Yeah, I'd say.
You got it.
You know, if you're one of the other contestants, you've got to be like, wait, what? That's Loretta Lynn is her grandmother? Oh, crap. But
here's
the thing about Emmy Russell is she probably will be, like, she doesn't really need American Idol, maybe? What do you think?
Yeah. I'm surprised. Did
the judges know she was her granddaughter or no?
Oh, did they not? Did she not disclose until after?
I don't know. That's
so scared
I would have to believe that she did not leave that show without it being announced one way or the other, whether it was before or after.
So they did a setup story. Now, yeah. Whether the judges knew that or not, but they did do a setup story beforehand because they interviewed her mother, who does bear a resemblance to Loretta Lynn.
And
so, you know, I don't know that at that time they did. God, I hate all you made. Everybody, submit your questions ahead of time so that, you know, just so I know.
It has to be the pressure that she felt to be so thin because she's in show business. That's basically what it's going to be. Very unusual voice.
And she has a great look, too. She just does for a singer. Be skinny.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Just in time for Love Month at the Bob and Sherry store, we have plush animals wearing a Bob and Sherry caricature shirt. We have bunnies, bears, jaguars, lions, and pandas. Oh my! If you'd like to pick up one for the love in your life, or you want to get one for yourself, all you have to do is go on over to the Bob and Sherry store, conveniently located on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Bell County, Texas has declared a state of emergency as its population of 400,000 is set to double and possibly even triple ahead of the total solar eclipse in April.
Why?
The officials, because, think about it. This is a place that's going to be right in the middle of the eclipse, and they're expecting people to have, they're expecting traffic congestion, fuel shortages, strains on first responders, hospitals, food supplies. Thousands of tourists are expected to flood the town. He said the emergency declaration, the judge said the emergency declaration will help the county plan for the eclipse and protect both residents and visitors. And I guess you really do have to get ahead of this, whether it happens or not. They say that with thousands of visitors flocking to Texas towns to catch a glimpse of this rare phenomenon, the authorities anticipate strains on like food, restaurants, grocery, fuel supplies, everything. They are saying that property owners who host parties with more than 50 people are required to register with the Bell County Emergency Management Office. They advise residents to stay home, avoid driving, fuel up vehicles ahead, purchase groceries days before the eclipse. The transportation spokesman said that the traffic could be comparable to the aftermath of several large football games all ending at one time. Resources will dwindle in small towns. All of these little places are expected to become destinations for eclipse enthusiasts. Because, you know, a lot of these people have paid $1,000 for a seat on the flight just to see it for a few minutes from the air.
Yeah. And this part of Texas is the best place. This part of Texas for some. Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm doing after hearing that. What I'm doing is renting my house and going to Vegas for 3 or 4 days. I want part of that mess. I'll watch it on TV. Are you kidding?
The tickets on the planes sold out within 24 hours. And the flights that typically cost $200 to $300 are $1,000.
Yeah.
But this eclipse is going to last twice as long as the one that occurred in 2017, and the path of it is nearly twice as wide. It's probably going to last
would happen,
for about 4 minutes.
You know what would happen? I paid $1,000 to go up in that plane chasing the eclipse, and I'm booked on the side of the plane that's away from the eclipse. You know what I mean?
And the person right across the aisle from you has closed their window shades to take a nap. And so there's nothing that you can see.
There's nothing.
I'm sorry that actually would happen.
Did y'all do the one in 2017?
Yes.
I took a break from work and came home, and we set out lounge chairs in the yard, and we sat and watched it. It was very cool, I have to say.
It
was very, very cool.
Yeah.
And like I say, this won't happen again. There'll be one in 2033 but it'll just be on the, one of the, like in Alaska. But as far as coming across America again, I think it's going to be 2045 before it comes back again.
Yeah. It's spooky, isn't it?
Yeah. Imagine it is. It's a different kind of light. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Imagine what the people of the past thought before, I mean, the distant past, before that they understood about, you know, the, what happened in the sky, and they, before they understood what an eclipse was, had to, they must have cowered expecting like God's judgment or some terrible thing to come raining down on them. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be?
I bet it was. I never thought about that. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be a conspiracy. There's going to be a conspiracy theory on this one, I bet. Whatever party you're on, you'll blame the other party for blotting out the sun.
The last one, I took some pictures. We were sitting out on the deck, kind of like what you did, Lamar. And I took some pictures of the way that the light and shadow looked on the on the ground and on the deck. And it was, there's no other light any day, any time of the year that looks like that eclipse light.
No,
so
that's right.
Spooky.
Yeah.
So
it is so cool. It's so cool. So, and you know, this is probably pretty smart. It's smart for these towns, because if you don't do anything and all of a sudden a gazillion people come to your town, that's a problem.
Right. It's a rock festival gone wrong. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Very cool. Thank you, Lamar, Texas.
All right, get your glasses. This is Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Rob Hayes.
I live in Los Angeles. I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia. All right. My friends back home, they pay the same amount I do a month, but they got a front yard. They got a backyard. They got an upstairs. They got a downstairs. I just got a room in a room. That's it. Just one room in another room. That one room is so many rooms at the same time. It's a kitchen. It's an office. It's a hallway. It's a foyer. My friends, they got the room nobody goes in. You ever go over somebody's house and be like, oh yeah, nobody goes in that room. They got that room. They have rules. You ever go over somebody's house and be like, oh yeah, everybody takes their shoes off when they come over. Somebody ever said that it's not a good sock day? You got holes in your socks. You got to move those holes down to the bottom. Hold on to them with your toes like this. They're like, what's wrong with your foot? Oh, man, I stepped on something outside. This is nice. This is a nice place you got here. They're always like, Rob, how do you live in L.A.? It's so expensive. I'm like, it's easy. I moved there from New York. At least I have space. I shared a basement with another comedian when I lived here. Two grown men separated by a curtain. You know what everything sounds like when you're separated by a curtain. That's what I thought I had to do to make it. Other comedians had doors in our apartment. I had roommates upstairs. They'd be like, I'm going to my room. I'd be like, I'm going to my area. One of them had a dog. The dog would always be in my area. One time I left and came back, the dog was in my bed. I was like, who tucked you in? How'd that even happen? It sucked for me because I'm scared of dogs. Like most people, they pet a dog, it's fine. I can't get that first pet. Whenever I try to pet a dog, they smell the fear. Then they do one of these. Then I move my hand back, and then the dog's like, ooh, we playing Bite the Finger? I love Bite the Finger. I can't wait to play Bite the Finger. I hate Bite the Finger. I'm getting better, though. Like, I watch a dog on TV. Like, I watch the Westminster Dog Show. The Westminster Dog Show is amazing. They were introducing dogs for hours. I fell asleep, woke up, they were still introducing dogs. The Westminster Dog Show has been going on since 1877. They have not missed a year since 1877. Not during the Great Depression, not during World Wars, not during COVID. That means somebody in the 1930s was like, hey, it's rough out here. People are having trouble eating. Maybe we shouldn't have a dog show. And somebody else was like, these dogs are broke too. Let's see who has the best broke dog. I learned about so many dogs. Did y'all know there are other retrievers besides golden retrievers? That's the problem. Hollywood's not casting these brown and black retrievers. They're watching TV all day like, man, I could do that. I could catch a touchdown pass. I could pretend to have a family. Y'all ever notice Air Bud never happens around black people? It's always an all-white neighborhood where they're like, ain't no rule that says a dog can't play basketball. That's a movie I want to make. I want to make a movie where a bunch of black kids get to finally play against Air Bud. Air Bud AAU tournament. Just a bunch of black kids putting that dog on skates. Just woo, 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 blocking the ball out of his mouth. Woo. Air Bud coming back looking all sad like, I don't think I'm going to get a scholarship. Humans, we forget we're animals. We got laser hair removal. We think we better than the animal kingdom. We're not. Guys, we'll remind you we're animals, though. We sexed. We send pictures of our... That's just us doing animal stuff. That's all birds are doing when they chirp. They're just like, who trying to smash? Who trying to smash? Who trying to hit this? I got a puffy chest. Who wants this puffy chest on there?
That is Rob Hayes, BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab, look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Every comedian we have ever featured is right there waiting for you to blow an entire workday having the giggles. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobandSherry.com.
A Danish man earned an unusual Guinness Book World Record title when he managed to stuff 68 matches into his nostrils. Peter von Tangen Busgoff, 39, was awarded the title for the most matches held in the nose when he surpassed Guinness Book of World Record goal of 45 matchsticks. Surprisingly, it didn't hurt, Buskoff told Guinness Book of World Records. I have a fairly large nose, and my nostrils are really big, and my skin is quite stretchy. I'm sure that helped a lot. Buskoff said he chose the matchstick challenge after researching different world records he could attempt. He said he doesn't think he can currently beat his own record, but he hasn't ruled out trying again in the future. For me, an increase in capacity would require some training, or perhaps my nose will grow as I get older. What a simple life this man has. Wanting your nose to grow bigger and bigger so that you can get an award for something my mama would whip my ass for if I was a kid. Okay?
Listen, listen. He's in the Guinness book, and that's nothing to sneeze at. That is nothing to sneeze at right now.
But listen, here's the other thing. It's not like there's nobody on the planet that can do more matches. They just don't want to. I mean, you've got a record for something. The only reason you've cut the record is out of this whole planet, nobody else wants to stick a bunch of matches in their nose. Go ahead.
Did he stick it with the fiery part in first or the end of the match?
I think the fiery part. Actually, you'd almost have to do the fiery part because that would be smoother. If you did the other side, that would hurt.
Yeah, but
you think
whatever's on the end of that fiery part is probably going to burn the inside of your nose.
Nah, it's wet in there.
Okay. What a full life we have. We're discussing this like it's important. This is Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to BobandSherry.com.
It is talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERI, or you can snap up our free app in Google Play or the Apple Store and listen to the show and all the podcasts and text the studio and enter contests. And you can tap the little microphone at the bottom center screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, everyone. This is Bill from Iowa. I'm calling in reference to the door opening conversation you were having. I'll be married 23 years here in August. And up until about year 21, 22, I always opened the door for my wife. And then out of the blue, she would not allow me to do it. I thought she was just being funny at first, and then it happened again and again. We'd always walk up to this door together, hold hands, all that. But once we got to the door, she'd make me go through first. And then finally, I asked her, and the truth came out. She told me, and I'm not kidding, that if there's a gunman inside, she does not want to be first through the door. She wants me to take one for the team. That was
aww.
It.
All right. Chivalry. Thinking the exact same thing. I was thinking the exact same thing.
I was not. I thought this woman is all of a sudden nope. embracing her womanhood, her feminine power, and she wants to.
Hey, listen, that's, I get that.
I mean, wow. Kevin has to sleep closest at home, and if we're somewhere else, like a hotel or whatever, he has to sleep closest to the door because, right. as I've told him, he would not want to be the guy that didn't take it for the team. Like he wants to be the first person attacked.
Oh yeah.
Right. He wants
we
that.
All do. Yeah, we all
he
do.
He does. And I respect that and I validate that. You go first, my love. That is you.
That's
what
right.
you want. You'd have it no other way.
No matter what kind of a crazed maniac, even one with a samurai sword. You got to go ahead and take it for the team.
I mean, could you really imagine, Bob, letting Mary grapple with the samurai sword wielding intruder? No, that's not what you want at all.
Well, I don't. But I mean, she is taller than I am. You know, she's very tall.
But this is kind of in keeping with when you walk down the street and you're with a woman, you walk on the traffic side.
Yes,
should a car veer off the road, so you will die and she will continue. Yeah. That seems to be a pretty high level of courtesy. But
well, I think that was initially initiated if a wagon hit a puddle and splashed water. But now we are to the point where you got a more chance of being run over by a car than you do getting wet from being splashed.
You know where it really started? It really started, I think it was in London, England, back in like, I don't know, 1700s, where you'd have a man and a woman walking down a street. And sometime, because the conditions of living in cities back then were so filthy, people would take like wet garbage and throw it out their windows onto the street. And they just figured out that the person who's on the outside of the building would get the garbage on their head and not the person to his right. So the man would get the garbage, the slop, thrown on his head if somebody did that.
Really?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not making this up.
No, that was a thing.
So back in those days, the man would be on the right side. Now he's on the left side.
No, the man would still be on the left side because they didn't drop it. They'd throw it out. And the likelihood of your getting hit would be you're closest to the street, as I understand.
Yeah. And isn't that how you'd want it? Seriously, you're gentlemen. Like Lamar, you can't tell me that you would not prefer to have a chamber pot full of human waste thrown on your head so that Carla would be spared. We all know that you are.
Hey, Lamar,
Carla feels the same way. Carla feels exactly the same way.
Yeah. It's a beautiful love you two share. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
so it'll be the first time I put myself in the position in a relationship of capturing some garbage and wearing it.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Oh, it's good to be a man. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
There's still time for you to win a Me Party Box with treats from the Scone Goddess and Maine Needham's Candy. Just go to the contest tab at bobandsherry.com. So Mary has been obsessed with replacing the old carpeting that were in the two guest bedrooms that we have. They're small bedrooms, but, you know, she's fixed them up real nice, except the carpeting has probably been there. I don't know when the people who owned the house before us put it in, but it's probably been in there for decades, right? And we vacuumed it and everything, but it just kind of looked old and funky. So we decided to have it torn out and then replaced with pine floors, which is what we have in the house. So it's a big deal, you know? And she said, this one is on me, which once I came to, because I've never heard those words before spoken to me. I went, well, that sounds great. And she did all the arranging. She got the crew and everything. So I was out when the crew arrived, and they were tearing. There's like five guys. They're going to do it all, both rooms in one day. And they're tearing out the old carpet. They got it all torn out, and they threw it out in the driveway. And they're going to town cutting the wood to put down on the floor. And as I walked in the front door, there's a guy, and he's in my hallway, and he's cutting the wood right there. Now, he's got something underneath where he's cutting, but I'm looking at it, and I'm going, I don't know, but I didn't say anything, and I just went about my business. So they got the wood in there, and I walked into the hallway, and there were some marks on the floor, and they looked kind of deep. And that's where a rug went. So I said to the guy, hey, this looks like some fresh stuff you guys did. You guys were cutting here. And the guy didn't speak English that I was talking to. And he just pointed to the rug like, you know, just put the rug over it, which really ticked me off. And Mary came home and I said, I think they messed up the hallway. I don't know what to do about it. I talked to one guy, I didn't speak English. And she said, go in the other room. There's a guy that speaks English. He's working in there. And I went in there and I said, hey, can I interrupt you for a second? And I told him what the situation was. And he said, yeah, I was the guy doing the cutting. And that was there before before we came. That was there. I went, are you sure about that? Because it looks pretty fresh. And we're now eyeball to eyeball. And who's going to blink? Who's going to say, that's what happened? And so I walked away and I went back again and I brought it up again. And he said, I do a lot of these floors, and that was done by somebody who is moving something very heavy into your kitchen or living room. And I walked away and I thought to myself, oh yeah, when we had the new refrigerator brought in, these knuckleheads scraped several places, and that was probably one of them. And here's where my personal growth came in. I could just walk away from this and say nothing, you know, say nothing at all and keep my pride. But I decided not to. And I went into the room and I said, excuse me again. I'm so sorry to bother you. You are right. You were right. I think that is what happened. And I just want you to know that I'm sorry that I even brought it up. But you're exactly right. And you guys are doing a great job. His face lit up. Just lit up. He was happy. I was over it. I was happy. And I don't have some guy who hates my guts. It's just so much easier when you say I was wrong.
When like you are.
Don't act like you're just learning this. Are you not practiced in saying, you know what? You are right. I am wrong. And I am so sorry I even brought it up. Was that the first time you've said that? Maybe to a male.
No, not.
But it's not the first time you said
it. I was going to say, usually I'm saying it to someone I'm sleeping with. You know, it's very unusual to say that to a guy. But it was so freeing. All of a sudden, I didn't have to carry that, oh, you screwed me, or blah, blah, blah. I don't have to worry about this guy getting ticked off and say, boy, those people are awful. The guy's a jerk. You know, it was just over.
Well, it clears the air. It clears the air.
It does.
Because you both know that that's what happened. And you're really happy because it feels good to know, you know what? I'd rather be wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in that situation, because, you know, and now then, you don't feel like he's got over on you and he don't feel like you're holding something. Cleared the air.
So I figured when the job was finished, they all get in the van, and as he's driving away, he'd say, you know, that Lacey guy, that guy is a good guy. He's a good, honest guy. I think that's what he said to the crew. What do you mean?
Maybe.
You're not buying that?
It's possible. Maybe he didn't say you're a jerk. Maybe he didn't say you're a jerk. Maybe he just didn't say anything. That's good.
He probably didn't say anything about you at all because the job was done and he was on his way home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He probably didn't tell his wife about it. He probably didn't tell people at church about it. He probably didn't tell anybody. He kept it to
But himself. Don't worry, because you just told the world. So it is known. It is out there.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You get credit. That's right.
Bob's a great guy. It's Bob and Sherry. Can You Believe This is sponsored by Avatar, The Last Airbender, on Netflix, February 22nd.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this. I believe this.
So I'm reading this book called English Traditions and Foreign Customs, and I'm reading about all these like unusual sort of wedding traditions that happen in various cultures. And some of them are really kind of sweet, you know, like there's a dance where all the unmarried women would wear this sort of sash wrapped around their waist. And if a man wanted to marry you, girl, he'd grab that sash, tug on it. And if you don't want to marry him, you take that sash and he has to go away. And when the dance ends, the men and the women that are still holding on to the sash, they're couples. They're going to be married together forever, right? A very charming little tradition. And then I came upon this one from Russia. So I don't think this is still being practiced, but then I don't really know. It's missing all of the playfulness and wink, wink sense of humor that you might hope for in some of these kind of quaint traditions. Here we go. It's called the wedding whip. So a couple, they're about to get married. And before the wedding, before the vows, the groom sends in his female friends who strip the bride naked, and then they check her for defects and they report back to the groom. And if they find something like, oh, she got her a scar on her leg or whatever, the groom can decline to marry her. But if her defects, you know, it's not too extreme, whatever, the groom will be like, okay, yeah, thanks for checking. So then they go to the church ceremony and they take hops, which is a plant that we make beer out of, and they throw hops on the bride and they just keep throwing hops at her, yelling, as many babies as hops, while the poor woman ducks and dodges and hops are stinging her in the face and the eyes. And then, you know, they go to the reception and there's this gigantic feast, but the bride and groom are not allowed to eat because that's like impure. So the bride and the groom sit there with their hands in their laps while everyone else eats, and a choir of children, you know, connected to the bride and groom, maybe they're family members or they live in the town. The children entertain the feasting guests by singing the most obscene, filthy, profane songs in the Russian language.
What?
Yeah. So before we're about to head into the wedding night, but let's recap. The bride has been stripped and inspected for defects, and hopefully she has passed muster. Then they've done their vows, and then everyone's thrown fistfuls of dried hops at the woman, demanding that she have babies. Then they are denied all food and drink while children sing filthy, dirty, obscene songs to them. And then the entire wedding party, all the bridesmaids and groomsmen and flower girl or whatever, they all accompany the newly married couple to the honeymoon bedchamber. Now, the husband has spent the entire day with two things concealed inside each boot. In one boot, he has like a little trinket, you know, a little bracelet or something, just something small and pretty. And in the other boot, he has a whip. So here's the tradition. He says to the bride, "Woman, remove my boots." And she reaches for the first boot. Now, if the first boot she takes off is the one where he has the trinket, she gets to keep that. And it's considered like an omen of good fortune for her life as his bride. But if she takes off the boot that contains the whip first, that's not an omen of good fortune. And the husband gives his new wife a ceremonial one lash with the whip and tells her, this is what you can expect in the future. And then everyone leaves the room for exactly 2 hours. But the old women of the families are stationed in chairs outside the door. And the bride has to present at the end of 2 hours evidence of her purity, if you know what I'm saying, to the old ladies. The old ladies inspect it, and if they agree that it passes muster, they braid her freshly disheveled hair, and then the old women go to the parents of the bride and groom and demand that the dowry be handed over.
Folks, we have to support Ukraine. We have to support Ukraine. Or this sort of craziness could be coming our way. That, what a nutty country.
I did not make one word of that up.
Oh, I believe
exaggerate
you.
One I believe word you. Of that. Yeah. So, hey, if you're kind of dreading your wedding for whatever reason, at least none of these things are going to happen to you. Can you imagine?
Yeah, awful.
Lamar, can you imagine sending your female friends in to expect Carla for defects?
They wouldn't have found none. Wouldn't have found one.
And you would have lived through your wedding night.
That was well played. That was well played. You know what I would do? I would put the trinkets in both boots so that she wins either way.
Oh, look at you playing. Look at you.
You're a cheater, though.
It's we'll get this up on our Facebook. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store to find great deals down every aisle. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, night shirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime. The Bob and Sherry store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
In Verona, Kentucky, Tiana and Logan Abney knew that the men's bathroom inside the hop shops in Verona was the perfect place for a wedding venue. Because when you walk into that bathroom, there's a big red button, and this is what happened.
Hopper, whatever you do, do not hit that button.
I love this.
So what else happens?
So what else what happens? Go ahead, tell it.
Yeah, it gets completely, all the lights go off and then the disco lights come on. And it's like disco ball lights and all this is happening inside the bathroom. So Tiana had said, you know, I want something different. I didn't want to just get married in a typical chapel or go to the church. She said, I wanted to do it in this bathroom. And so they were surrounded by their family and friends, co-workers and everybody. The 23-year-old Tiana walked down the slushy aisle in the convenience store on Valentine's Day. Seeing her in her wedding dress, she looked beautiful, said Logan, her husband. It was just an emotional day. And by the power vested through the state of Kentucky, Hop Shop's employee, David Byrie, pronounced the couple husband and wife. And right after Logan and Tiana had their first kiss as husband and wife, the lights turned off. The disco ball lights came on as a couple shared their first dance to Forever and Ever Amen by Randy Travis. They changed the song for that, and that's how they got married. Listen, I'm driving to Kentucky. I may do it this afternoon. I'm driving up there. I got to go to this store. I've got to experience the disco bathroom. Oh, my God.
I love it. I think it's the greatest idea ever. I wonder if there's a crowd now, if the word got out, if there's a crowd lining up to go in there, you know, just to experience it. What a great idea.
Absolutely.
Usually with a convenience store, they don't want a lot of attention paid to the bathroom.
They do all this.
They do all this, yeah.
This is Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
Can I take a couple of moments here to address the youth? I think the youth like to hear from me.
I could just speak for my youths. My youths are like, does Chit Chat have any advice for me, Mom?
This is not advice. I just want to say, youth, well done. Youth are turning back to things that I had when I was youth. Avocado skinny jeans, sourdough bread, and beards are out. It is done. Youth don't want that anymore. Cool kids today are looking at 1990s and before fashions, including bootcut jeans, skinny cardigans, mini skirts, and platform shoes. Out, craft beers, oat milk, flat white coffees, as well as, I mentioned, beards. They are going back to the 1990s. And I say, youth, welcome back. Now, you're going to have some problems with the platform shoes because, as a matter of fact, don't have any pictures taken with a platform shoe because you're going to look like an idiot. And they don't make you look really taller. Everybody knows it's a bunch of baloney. But the bootcut jeans, yeah, I had those. I never liked bell bottoms, but I like the bootcut jeans. What's a skinny cardigan? I mean, obviously it's tighter. A cardigan sweater that's tighter? Is that
what
that is?
Instead of like a big baggy loose grandpa sweater. It's fitting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And mini skirts. Yeah. I see in magazines. I don't see many of them walking around here, but my neighbors are a little bit older. I don't see that many mini skirts going on right now, but, It's just interesting that this is stuff. If I held on to this stuff, it would be cool. I could give it to Madison, you know?
This reminds me of the other morning when my husband said to me, "Woman, it is uncool to use the word slay. Gen Alpha has decided it is uncool to use the word slay. I cannot wait to tell Karamia." And I was like, and I know Karamia cannot wait for you to tell her what slang is hip. Let me make some popcorn and pour a drink.
What did you just say? Gen what? What was that?
Alpha. Gen Alpha.
What the hell is that?
They're coming up behind Gen Z. Like Doxa Millennial.
Another one? Another Doxa, one?
Doxa Millennial. Karamia's a Zoomer. Here comes Gen Alpha.
They keep on making these generations, Bob. I know it's hard to believe, but they do.
It needs to stop. I can't keep up with all their things. Yeah, you're right about that.
The more generations that we have, enough. Yeah.
I know. And sometimes, you know, it's just change for the sake of change. I mean, why would you shun craft beers and oat milk all of a sudden, right?
Are you just saying cyclical? You shunned Brill Cream and Doo-Wop, right? I mean, everything is cyclical.
That was a little way before my time, but
that's what I mean. Like I have no idea. What your parents were so outside of pop culture. I don't know anybody's parents who were so outside of pop culture the way Big Bob and Big Mary Lacey were outside of pop culture.
I know. My mother was a little more hip to it. Every once in a while, she'd throw me a bone, like I'd be playing a Rolling Stones song, and she would say, "I'd like that one with the 'Hey, you, get off of my cloud.' I like that one." I go, "Really? You're kidding me. You like a Stones song?" Always surprised me. But my father, oh, yeah. I mean, the man was not changing. He was not changing. He never had a pair of jeans or anything like that.
I really like, because my girls are very, they're Zoomers and they're super, super nostalgic. And I love when they say things to me like, "Mother, have you ever heard the Rumors album by Fleetwood Mac?" "What? No, tell me more." Because they like discovering all that. And I told you, Olivia bought a harvest, like a green, like avocado green princess phone at a thrift store, and came home and plugged it into her. She has, you know, free your phone that comes with your cable. So she plugged it into the phone jack and called me on it. And I thought she was calling me from Buffalo Bill's basement at the bottom of the hole.
There's a certain sound to those old phones. You're right.
It was amazing. Yeah.
So anyway, youth, well done. Thumbs up. Keep it going.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Well, last July, the House of Cards star Kevin Spacey was found not guilty of sexually assaulting four men. They had a four-week trial at Southwark Crown Court in England. Now, just over 6 months later, Spacey is making his return in a film called Peter 5-8. It's a thriller/action flick that's going to open up in March.
Could have used a different title, I think.
Yeah.
Evidently, he had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
My middle school boy brain, that was the first place it went.
Right
away. Peter 258. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the director, Michael Zyko Hall, he says from the very beginning, the film was envisioned as a 1940s-style pulp melodrama. But why mm-hmm. Spacey? Well, Hall explains, now with Kevin, he came up early in the casting discussions as the most perfect Peter on the planet. Another poor choice of words. No one can play that role better than Spacey. As it turned out, Kevin is also a huge film buff, and he understood all the reference points and that kind of thing. With Peter 5-8 being Spacey's first movie back since all the accusations first arose and after the trial, there's still a lot of attention on it. And with that, there's a lot of apprehension when it comes to the actor's return to the screen. But before deciding to cast him, is it something that Hall felt about? And Hall says, naturally, there were discussions amongst the producers about it. It's a sensitive topic, and we're respectful to all sides. As flawed as it may be at times, I do believe in the criminal justice system. This is where innuendo and allegations are put under the microscope. They're looked at intensely from all angles. The allegations against him were put to the test, and he was exonerated.
Before I just want to say that I liked him so much as an actor, and I was just really disappointed that all of that went on. Do we have any sound? I'd just like to hear his voice.
Yeah, we have a little bit of the trailer for Peter 5-8.
I'm actually in the market for a house of my own in the region here. You want something?
Just you.
I found her. She's here.
Okay, so Lamar, is this a horror movie or what is it?
No. It's sort of like a film noir. It's a thriller. Mm-hmm. From looking at the trailer, it looks like he comes to this town under false pretenses and he's trying to find somebody. So there's some murders going on. I don't know. I think he may be a detective. I'm not sure. I'm thinking just from watching the trailer that may be it.
Yeah.
But the guy says, you know, there's going to be voices online that say bad things about the movie and those involved because they had worked with Kevin. And he said, I do feel that they're a relatively small group. He said, I think that he has cleared his name and his work can be enjoyed again for those who are interested. If you're a fan of Kevin's filmography, this is a unique chance to see him and in a leading role. So I don't know. This thing right here is what really leads me to believe they picked him. He says the character of Peter embodies a lyrical malevolence that Kevin does better than anyone. And I think that's true.
That is a fair assessment of his abilities. That is his wheelhouse. What do we all think? You know, is he let back in with polite society or not?
This one's hard because he was tried and exonerated.
Exonerated.
And so you would want, if that were you in his position, you would want that legal finding to clear your name and to allow you to return to the world.
The actor Anthony Rapp, who made the allegation against him when Anthony was underage and Kevin Spacey was drunk, and Kevin Spacey did not deny that there may have been something. He says, well, I don't remember, but if I did do something, I apologize. There is something about that. And of course, he doesn't, he's not looking for money. He's not looking for anything. He's just saying, this is what happened with this guy. And so yeah. I believe that there's a lot of credibility to that. And it just creeps me out.
I'm yeah, with Max. I agree with you. Like, I think that he deserves his fair shot. He was tried and exonerated. But I'm with Max. There's always going to be like a weird cloud over that.
It's going to stick. It's going to stick. You can't being exonerated is still going to stick. You can't.
The I was drunk. The I was drunk excuse really is pretty weak. It's pretty weak.
Pretty icky. Yeah.
And it wasn't a direct denial. It was, mm-hmm. if I did do something, then I do apologize, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Well, you know what? We'll see. We'll see.
Yep.
And it's
March
called
22nd,
Peter 5'8". Peter 5'8". It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
All right. We have Shauna with us right now. And your dad is involved in dating an ex?
Yes, he is.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay. My dad is, he got married and he helped this lady raise her children. And then one day he decided to leave and date her sister. And they're still married.
So which one is your mom?
Neither one, thank God. Neither one is my mom.
Okay. So your dad was married, and then he left her, and he married that woman's sister. And then he left her, and then he somehow got with your mom, and that's how you arrived.
No.
She,
my mom was first when they were young,
and then she
in her
married,
early 20s.
Right, and then he married a woman and helped raise the kids, and then married that woman's sister.
Your mom was first. I was thinking your mom was last.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, my mom was first.
All right.
And then he got married. And then he got married again.
Right, we got that. So what's the trickiest part of this for him? I mean, have there been
the trickiest part for everybody is that these two sisters still like for family events, for holidays, mm-hmm. they're around each other,
mm-hmm.
and so we're all in the house, and the wife's kids are like dad, and the girlfriend's kids are like. Dad, and it's kind of like Uncle Daddy.
Daddy.
And so, like, if me and my kids are around,
that's
both,
I've never heard that term before.
To their daughters,
I've never heard that term before. Uncle Daddy.
I thought Daddy Kenny was rough.
I
but
know
Uncle Daddy
is even worse. How about your mother? Is your mother still alive?
Yes, she is.
Does she go to the family get-togethers too?
They all come to my house. Sometime for holidays.
So it's your mother.
She's
and
known
it's,
as Mrs. Dodge the Bullet.
Yeah. It's your mother and then the two sisters.
And then the new girlfriend.
And, The new
girlfriend is the sister.
Oh, I thought
is the sister.
Sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dad needs to get out more because this is very, Uncle Daddy's life is very confusing.
I'm just putting myself in Uncle Daddy's place. And boy, I tell you what.
He is with his wife's sister. So he's dating his sister-in-law.
He is. Bob, you say what you want. I think if your radio name had been Uncle Daddy, our lives
big.
Would be very different.
We would have been big. Yeah. Uncle Daddy and Sherry.
Yeah.
I like it. So he's still dating the sister. He's not married to the sister.
Yeah, they've been together for like 10 years.
I just so want to be invited to your house for Thanksgiving. I do. I just want to see how Uncle Daddy handles it. He must be a hell of a man. Huh?
The sisters fight over who's going to bring him a plate, and he calls them both.
Oh, shut up. They compete for Uncle Daddy's affection?
Yeah.
Oh!
He calls them what?
He calls them both sweetie and baby and hey, honey. And he'll introduce the sister as his wife and his girlfriend as his sister. There.
So he has not divorced his the first sister.
No,
Uncle Daddy is double timing the sisters.
What did Uncle Daddy do for a living when he was?
He did carpentry.
Carpentry, yeah.
Yeah.
Do your own jokes, folks.
And they're plentiful.
Yeah, do your own jokes.
They're thick on the ground.
Slow pitch, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so slow. Even I'm not going to do
it. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it, though.
Uncle Daddy?
Oh, come on.
Do it. Get it over. Uncle Daddy, we're so glad you're here. We want you to meet Daddy Kenny. Daddy Kenny, Uncle Daddy. Uncle Daddy, Daddy Kenny.
So you're nailing both sisters, huh?
Uncle Tippy, can you bring a drink for Uncle Daddy and Daddy Kenny?
You just couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't.
And last month, he spent the night at the wife's house. He said he went to sleep by visiting the grandkids.
But you don't believe that's what happened.
It's not up to me. It's up to the girlfriend.
I know, but you don't believe it. You don't believe you don't believe Uncle Daddy's flimsy story.
No, not at all.
I keep forgetting that Uncle Daddy is your daddy, and that has to be strange for you to be, like, in the middle of all of this.
Yeah, because I'm a lot of people's sister, I guess, although I'm his only actual child.
You are his only child?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you're right. You'd be a lot of people's half-sister, right?
So your aunt's sister and sister-cousin. Yeah. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was so good. Shauna, you just made my weekend. Oh, that was so good.
Uh-huh.
You know what's so awesome, Shauna?
Everything is awesome about this.
This is your life, and you're as confused by it as we are. Like, you're still struggling to figure it all out.
You're
wow.
great. Shauna, you're
horrible.
Great.
Horrible. And the worst of it all, I'm a social worker.
Oh, God, your family needs one.
Yeah, that's right. Shauna, God bless you, and you have a great weekend, and thank you for calling us. You really made us laugh.
Best
right,
to Uncle
honey.
Daddy.
All right.
Uh-huh.
You know what that uh-huh, that's from years of reflection. You know?
Yeah.
She's thought about it all and just...
uh-huh.
That's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman.
God, you... To be Uncle Daddy, the confidence, the stones, the attention span you have to have.
Why has somebody not come up with a movie?
Uncle Daddy?
Uncle Daddy. There's Uncle Buck.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
I don't know why it took Apple so long to do this, but here we go. Apple has stepped forward and said, hey, if your phone gets wet, do not put it in a bag or a bowl of rice. Well, Apple,
is that right?
Apple, I know y'all busy over there in Cupertino. It didn't occur to you to mention this sooner? Because that's what people have been doing. don't you agree
decades.
They could have come out with this like a little bit sooner?
Yeah.
So they said the problem with putting your phone in a bag of rice is that now there's water in your phone, and now there may potentially be like tiny, almost invisible particles of rice and rice bran also in your phone, which is not going to be good, right?
Yeah, you're right. Why didn't they say this before?
Yeah. Apple also said, don't use a hairdryer on your phone. Stop that. And also, like, if you get water in your charging port, don't put a Q-tip in your charging port. So, which leads me to my next, and this is, I admit, is a large question that you will not be able to answer. How is it that Q-tips are on the market? And the one thing people use them for, you're told, do not put that thing in your ear. Do not.
It's true.
And now Apple's saying, do not put that thing in your phone. How many kids' crafts do I need Q-tips for that they make gazillions of them and sell them? Like, what the heck is a Q-tip good for if not for these items?
Is it good for makeup for women? Do women use Q-tips for makeup?
Sometimes, but not enough to justify the Q-tip industrial complex. It's weird. So what does Apple want you to do if not the bag or bowl of rice and the Q-tip? Apple says tap. Yeah, that's going to be what you have to do. Yeah. Apple says tap your phone gently on your hand, not on a table or anything, on your hand to shake out any excess liquid. And then set it aside in a dry place with good ventilation and leave it the heck alone for 24 hours.
And then go buy
just
a new
leave
phone.
Leave it alone.
Lamar's
and right. then, yeah, then you'll try to turn it on, and of course it won't work. And then you'll have to go get a new phone. And don't even try to lie to the Apple geniuses, because they built the iPhone to rat you out. I don't know if you know this, but if your phone gets wet...
Yeah,
there's something inside the body of the...
It's a little red thing that comes on.
Yeah.
It's just a little red. Something turns red.
That's right.
And it never turns off again.
Yeah.
So two things for you, Apple. Why didn't you tell us this sooner? And snitches get stitches. Like, why did you have to put that thing inside the phone about the water? It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.